B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so here's a story that, I don't know, if I were a Patriots toady, Patriots fanboy, I'd be a little pissed. And not about what Brady did this morning in Tampa and what he has been doing in Tampa, but it's about what he hasn't been doing here the last couple of years. That's what would piss me off. What you're about to read is what Brady should be doing. It's just what he should have been doing the last couple of years here as well. So this is Rick Strout, Tampa Times, this morning's newspaper. About 20 minutes after sunrise, just before 7 a.m. on Tuesday, the luxury vehicles began rolling past the guarded entrance at Berkeley Preparatory School. A Tesla coupe, followed by a Porsche and a Ford truck or two. What was Brady driving?
The Tesla.
Probably. Why do you say it with such disdain? Like, you know, like,
oh, I hate electronic cars, electric cars. Put an engine in it. Use gas like an American.
And put all the recyclables in one big bag.
Yeah, right. Now more than ever, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so
anyway, probably made him buy it.
A Tesla coupe followed by a Porsche and a Ford truck or two. On the artificial turf football field, tucked away in a well-secluded enclave of the sprawling campus, Tom Brady and about eight of his Bucks teammates began a two-hour throwing session. Brady wasn't the only quarterback, but he was the only player wearing a bright orange practice jersey over shoulder pads with his Buccaneers helmet. Now, copyright being what it is, we can't show the picture on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. You can Google it and see it. Murray, I don't know if you've actually seen it, but it's that beautiful creamsicle color.
Yeah, I loved it. As soon as I sent it to you, too, almost the same time as Mason Souza, who's filling in today for Billy. Like, I saw it on Twitter. I was like, ooh, and I sent it to you guys. But I loved the look. I wish they had the old creamsicle uniforms.
Well, beautiful color. There was no logoing on it or anything. There was a Nike swoosh, but it's that creamsicle orange beauty.
So nice.
Old Buccaneers orange practice. So he clearly got it from the Buccaneers. Is that legal? Is Nana Floria going to get at him? Like, is he allowed to have team-issued gear? Because it's clearly, to me, team-issued. They're all wearing Buccaneers helmets, by the way. So they are wearing Buccaneers. So they got team-issued gear. Is that legal, Florio? Is he going to get on that?
Oh, I'm sure he's already upset about it.
Anyway, he was the only one wearing the bright orange practice jersey over shoulder pads with his Buccaneers helmet, as I just said. Center Ryan Jensen was there to make sure Brady received the shotgun snaps before launching dozens of passes on this humid 77-degree morning. Rick Stroud writes that if you had any doubt that Brady wasn't going to find a way for such a gathering when players can't be together at team practice facilities due to NFL rules, think again. Brady appeared to be the one organizing the route combinations and situational drills that Bucks receivers, tight ends, and running backs ran for about 120 minutes on Tuesday. At times, like he did with receiver Mike Evans, Brady would walk through the route, showing players exactly where to make their cuts. Brady's arm looked live, and he took advantage of the large collection of pass catchers to also get in some work on deep routes. Among those attending the practice were receiver Scotty Miller, tight ends Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard, quarterbacks Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin, and running back Dare Ungabulewule. You got the pronunciation there for me, Murray?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
Me neither.
Anyway, that running back. After about an hour, the Bucks moved into the red zone area near the end zone on the east side of the practice field. Then it was time for some coming out passing drills, meaning coming out of their own end zone, simulating the offense being back up deep in their own territory. Since signing a two-year, $50 million contract with the Bucks, Brady has been itching to get time on the practice field with his teammates. The lack of an off-season program and organized team activities will be a big hurdle for Brady as he attempts to learn Bruce Arians' offense. But apparently, while Berkeley Prep has been closed to students and faculty, the school opened its doors and football field to Brady and what looked to be most of the offensive skill players. So there's more. I'll give you more in a second here, but if this story were written as Brady still being a member of the New England Patriots and he was out there with Mohamed Sanu and not just Julian Edelman, but N'Keal Harry and his running backs, Damian Harris,
Gunnar Olszewski,
and his tight ends and Gunnar Olszewski, and he's wearing pads and a Patriots practice jersey and the Patriots helmet, and he's out there running the guys through the route trees and he's organizing the drills, and you have this exact same account but just substitute the Patriots jersey, Patriots helmet, and Patriots players at Dexter Southfield in Brookline versus these Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the prep school in Tampa, you all are taking your pants off.
That would be a blanami.
And hosing it is what you're doing. It is a giant Patriot circle session is what you're doing today, right? You're salivating over
their
this.
Their pants would have been off out of the gate.
Patriot. Like,
forget taking them off. They never would have put them on.
Patriot porn.
See, he's rededicated.
Patriot porn, if this is a Patriot. Instead, it takes him going to Tampa Bay to being this guy again, because he wasn't this guy the last couple of years in New England. Does that bug you?
No, no, not at all. If anything bugs me from that story, there's only one thing about it, and that's that Blaine Gabbert was there. Go home. What are you doing here? The real quarterback's here now, bum. And where's Gronk? So those are about the only two things that I find somewhat offensive. Other than that, no. This is the rededicated Brady I thought we would get. It sucked that it went south here these last couple of years, but the bottom line is he got pushed out. He got pushed out. So I don't blame him for kind of being checked out here the last couple of seasons, even though they won a Super Bowl in one of them.
I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, I don't know how you don't get a little agitated by that. So, but I mean, I shouldn't say that because I do. He was here so long that they let him get away with everything and they didn't hold him to a standard anymore. He had given enough, which on some level I get. But there's no doubt that in the last couple of years, he wasn't as invested as he clearly is again now in Tampa.
Oh, clearly. The stories we got in the offseason from Brady were selling watches in Monaco or whatever. Anyway, Gabbert Murray, who missed the 2019 season with an injury to his left non-throwing shoulder, appeared to have no trouble hitting receivers in stride on Tuesday. You'll be happy to know Gabbert looks good.
Oh, good.
Following the workout, I'm going to X out that paragraph the next time. I didn't mean to read that.
No, it should say Gabbert, comma, who blows.
Following the workout, which concluded just after 9 a.m., Brady and his teammates spent about 25 minutes on the field and in the bleachers just talking and doing some relationship building. I'm going to star that one because all he could do is basically fart in the direction of Matt LaCosse and N'Keal Harry last year. Okay, but now that he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, oh no, all the time you need, guys, on the field in the bleachers. Rick Strout writes that after arriving in Tampa Bay, Brady didn't waste any time trying to learn the offense. In fact, he inadvertently walked into the wrong Tampa home carrying two duffel bags looking for offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich, who lived next door. In fact, Brady was so excited to join the Buccaneers that he asked for the phone numbers of every teammate shortly after agreeing to sign with the Bucs. Apparently, he used that list to organize extensive throwing sessions like the one at Berkeley Prep this morning. It's also not surprising that Brady organized the session at 7 a.m. In addition to providing some protection from the heat of the day, as well as some privacy, he also is able to determine which teammates are willing to rise early and make the sacrifice to work on improving their timing and chemistry with him. Based on Tuesday's workout, Brady won't have much catching up to do by the time the Bucs players and coaches are able to be together at the team facility. What are your thoughts on that, Maz, overall?
Oh, just, you know, the waking up early thing. Like, what are we, what's this, college now? Like, we got to see how bad they want it. I got to see how bad these guys want it. I want them up early.
You don't buy that?
Well, I do buy it, but it's also, it's just so trite. That's like an easy thing, you know, we're going to make the workout early and see who's got the, you know, got the heart to get out of bed and get down. All right, already. We just shut up. Just learn the offense.
Oh, you see, but.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's a big ask.
Me too. I love that stuff.
Pandemic gym, 7 a.m. That may as well be 2:30 in the morning. Jesus.
Yeah. No, but I'm
a
just
big
saying,
ask.
When I, you know, I want my quarterback up early. Rallying the guys up early, just after dawn, working out on the field. You can call it a cliche. You can call it corny, Maz.
It is a cliche.
But it's real.
It exists for a reason, though.
Absolutely. And again, if Brady were here in the Patriots practice jersey with his Patriots teammates at some field here near his house at 7 a.m. running the route tree, you'd have your freaking pants off. You wouldn't, Maz. I mean, you'd be the same old cynical... you know, guy that you are.
But Maz would be calling him fat.
But right. We wouldn't call that fraudulent. We'd say, you know, here we go. Here we go. LFG, baby. You'd be doing the whole thing. You know you would.
Listen. Yeah, Patriots fans totally would. But now let me ask you this. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are not in these workouts, right?
No, Mike Evans was there.
Correct.
Oh, I thought he said, All right. I didn't think Mike Evans was on the list.
And to me, just not to cut you, that to me is one of the big asks, because a month ago when they were talking about getting Brady, he was on Twitch like sipping Cavassier up at 3 a.m. So him being asked to get up at 7 right now to run these routes, it's a big deal.
Again, as an example, yeah. Godwin was not there.
Okay, not this morning, but apparently these have been going on. So I don't know. Okay. I don't have attendance for you, Maz.
No. The reason I'm asking you this, though, there's a method to it. Be patient. So Godwin is doing effectively what Brady did last year, right?
I'm not jumping to that conclusion.
No, but I'm saying if some guys aren't willing to get out of bed in the morning to go, aren't they effectively doing something similar to what Brady did last year?
If that's the case,
is Brady
yes.
willing to admit that he didn't care?
If that's the case. So,
yeah,
yes.
I just think it's bullcrap. I think now it's all of a sudden Brady wants to set the rules again and make it show like I care, so now everyone else has to care. So is Brady willing to acknowledge that he didn't care last year?
Oh, okay, fine. I'm with you on this take. I was confused where you were going.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure, I understand what you're saying. I just believe
so it's just so hollow. Like, okay, Tom, now it matters again. So now whoever shows up at 7 o'clock cares. But you couldn't get off the boat in the Mediterranean 2 years ago.
Brady appeared to be the one organizing the route combinations and situational drills at the Bucs receivers, tight ends, and quarterback and running backs ran for 120 minutes. At times, like he did with receiver Mike Evans, Brady would walk through the route, showing players exactly where to make their cuts. Did he do that with N'Keal Harry? Did he just yell at him? Say, sit down, rookie. I'm not throwing to you. You're not my circle of trust anymore. And I'm dramatizing that. He did work with, I do remember seeing the pictures of him working with Antonio Brown, who he considered an equal. But anyway, Brady's doing this stuff now for the Buccaneers when he didn't really do it here the last couple of years. This is not a organized team activity, but it might as well be. And Brady's the one organizing it. So not only is he showing up for this stuff, chomping at the bit to show up for this stuff, he's the one organizing it and running it. When last year he could barely be bothered to play, do anything more than play catch with the butlers, as I like to say in the backyard. And does that bug you that he's once again the hardest working player on his team? Does that bug you? What bugs me is, and this goes back to, and I said it the day after for sure, that Brady said he didn't do these things the last couple of years in New England because his wife wanted him home, and it was to save his marriage, and it was because of his family, and he was devoting too much to football, too much off-season time to football, and so he had to stay home to take care of things around the house. This is what he told Howard Stern. And a lot of you bought it, and the local media presented it as such, and I thought it was the biggest steaming pile of bullcrap then, and this just proves it. I sure hope he and G are okay, Maz, because he sure seems to be spending a lot of time on the practice field. He sure seems to be spending a lot of time playing football out of the house. I hope she's okay with it. I hope his marriage is okay, because he's once again back to playing football in April and May. So hopefully she's okay and they're okay, because, I was really worried about those crazy kids.
Yeah, but Felga, that's why things are better now. That's why you can do it now, because things are better.
So fraudulent. To use the family excuse, he had a contract problem with the team. He got sick of Bill Belichick. He got sick of being jerked around on the contract. So he stopped showing up in the offseason. That's what happened. And instead of owning it, he says, well, the wife wanted me home, and my family was in such a place that I had to stay home.
He used a relatable excuse is what it was.
Oh, he used a lie.
Yeah. Which it was. And because he can't own being the bad guy ever. And that I find distasteful.
But I just find distasteful using the family thing. Like, don't cry wolf on that one, buddy. Don't cry wolf on that one. Use something you don't care about. You know, whatever. You had to stay home to wash your hair. Or like a lie that doesn't. I've said this before. I never, ever, ever use the excuse my kid is sick to get out of something. Ever. Even if they happen to be. Because I don't ever want that. I don't want those things to leave my lips. Yeah, I'm having family problems, so I can't show up to work.
You could be like, playing with karmic fire.
Exactly. Yeah. You're playing with karmic fire. You don't cry wolf on that, because if it happens and you've willed it to happen, it's like that sort of goofy, superstitious thing. Is so, like, I would never, that's just an aside. But what a pile of crap that was. He didn't show up the last couple of years at this time of year because of the family stuff. Oh, please. Please.
Cowardly. It's yellow.
So if he's telling the truth, then boy, I guess Giselle must have come around. Or I don't know. The family stuff isn't as important now. What? So which one is it? I think you were full of crap when you said it here. So there's the Brady reset. To your thoughts right after these words.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What was important to her, what was important to me is our family and our relationship. And at different times, like any married couple, you know, things need to be changed. And, you know, there was, you know, a couple of years ago we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself, because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. I need, you know, I got to take care of things in my family, because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
Felt like such an honest and revealing answer when he said it. Oh, it's so full of crap. So full of crap. Stop showing up in the off season because she needed him around the house and for the marriage. Oh, please.
It's a sell job. It really is. So he does that to Howard, a new softer Howard Stern, who is kind of a different audience now. And I think a lot of the people that hear that say, oh, and now who's he trying to, you know, TB12. Who do you think he's trying to market to? The people that are going to go, oh, to see how human, to say that, to see how human he is? Oh, he's a guy who gets it. Oh, I think I'll try his $50 magic potion that will prevent the coronavirus. It's all a marketing ploy. I believe that. I really do. Like, I love Brady, the player, but off the field, he gets more disingenuous by the day. He really does.
Well, it just turns out family's less important now because he's out on that football field constantly, apparently. So anyway, that's just sort of a douchey take on it, but it's the first thing I thought of. I thought using the family as the excuse was just gross, bad form. And it was just reiterated to me today as he's back out on the field practicing his ass off for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Back to your thoughts, Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I wanted to call in with some other a-hole comment that someone from MLB made, but they didn't have any over the weekend. So I have like a legitimate sports question, if you can believe that or not.
Go ahead.
This whole thing with Brady having his little powwow down in Florida with all the guys that showed up, and I heard Tony say Godwin wasn't there, and that was the one question I was going to ask. I watch a lot of NFL Network, and there was a lot of ripping Brady's decision to go to Tampa based on what Arians runs for an offense down there, because he doesn't do a lot of that deep pass stuff that they do a lot. So the fact that he had that today and kind of going through all these route trees with these guys, and that Gronk wasn't there was kind of like, oh, well, Gronk's like, well, he already knows my timing. Doesn't this kind of point the finger and I point this in the direction that maybe Arians is laying off his offense and maybe going to go with what Brady does best? Mm. And that's why he had Evans and Howard and Brady and all those guys there together.
So I wouldn't read in why any one guy was there or not there. Like, I don't think that's the point. Maz distracted me with that last segment too. Like, was Gronk there yesterday but not today? Was he there last week but not this week? I don't know. I just know Brady was out there for 2 hours with his teammates, and he's been doing this apparently regularly. Okay, like that to me is a story. Was someone there or not there? I don't know if it means anything specifically. I don't. And I'm just going to take Arians and all the reporting at their word that Brady's going to have to learn their system versus everyone there learning his. It just makes sense that, you know, instead of getting one guy to switch, I'm sorry, instead of getting 12 or 15 guys, 20 guys, whatever, how many on offense, 40 guys to learn Brady's way, they're just going to get Brady to learn their way. It's just simpler that way.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Look, my only point earlier was that, you know, Brady wants it showing up to matter when he shows up. Like, that's all. That's my only point. I don't care who was there either. I'm just telling you that if Brady's going to make the judgment about who cares, well, then he didn't care last year because he didn't show up at times.
Well, that I co-sign now, with.
Yeah. So now, look, as for the offense, I would tell you, I'm starting to wonder if Brady actually is relishing in this a little bit. The idea that You know what? I've always heard I don't throw the ball well down the field. It's not the strength of my game. You know what? Give me a couple of receivers who can get down the field, and I'll show you whether I can throw the ball down the field.
Oh,
like, I think I'm starting to wonder whether there's an element of that in this Tampa Bay offense that Brady's going to get off on.
I'm sure he's challenged by that. I'm sure. These guys are challenged by anything they've been told they can't do. Bill, you can't win without Tom. Oh, you really want to see? Bill, you can't win with these current receivers. Okay, let's see. Tom, you can't throw the deep ball. Tom, you can't learn a new offense. I guess, I bet you they're challenged by any little thing they hear like that. Tony in Holbrook has been waiting patiently. Tony, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Two things. I want to thank you all guys for doing your job and giving us some normality in this awful time. And two, I just think Brady is awful. I mean, if he really does think that people all across the country losing their jobs are going to shell out whatever amount of money for whatever substance he recommends, I just think it's a joke.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's exploitive too. I mean, I just, in the middle of a pandemic, to, you know,
the timing's gross.
Sell some vitamin C and larch tree extract and call it Protect.
Horrible.
Like, it's just not great.
The name is opportunistic. Protect. If you want to protect yourself from what, Tom? The virus. The killer virus. What can I do? Buy Protect for $49.99. You look at the bottle. I could probably buy all this stuff and this extract for like $20 at CVS, but it won't protect. You get Protect. You need to buy Protect. Ugh, ugh, gross. Ugh.
No, I think it's awful. I mean, it is so beneath him. It isn't funny. And it's like, you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, maybe you're one of those 36 million people that are out of work, but hey, shell out $45, kick it my way, because I don't have enough.
You might be broke, but you don't want to die. That's why you need to Protect.
Just pathetic.
Here's Dave in Rhode Island, says he's a pharmacist with some insight on the supplement. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Hey, yeah, just listening to the conversation about the Brady supplement. I know we're up against it. I haven't read much about it, but I just, you know, the Federal Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act says that, you know, a drug is used to diagnose, cure, mitigate, treat, or prevent any disease. And prevent is the operative word there. And it sounds like the supplement that you're describing is, he's purporting that it will be able to do that. So, you know, I think Tom's walking a really fine line here. And, you know, if I were him, I'd be a little bit cautious on how he's selling that.
So what you're saying is
it's a manipulative term.
Right.
Of course.
Well, I mean,
absolutely.
Not
absolutely.
Just that, but if he's treating it like that, then it does have to be FDA approved.
That's correct. That's the critical difference between a drug, like any drug you would take for a prescription, and the stuff you see over the counter at any of your grocery stores or your local pharmacy. Those have not been evaluated for safety and efficacy by the Food and Drug Administration, and those products get constantly pulled off the shelf all the time when they're proven not effective or that there's a safety issue.
Thank you. Right. The difference between a supplement and a drug. So he promotes the healing benefits or the preventative benefits of it, but can't cross the line or else he has to call it a drug, and then it does have to be. So, like, I mean, you can claim whatever you want if it's not FDA approved, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right. I find the name distasteful during this time because I think it's going to dupe a lot of people. If you called it Shrug, I wouldn't be as offended by it.
Shrug. Here's a doctor who claims he has info on the supplement. Go ahead, Dennis and Dedham. What do you got?
Thank you, Felger. That last guy stole my thunder a little, but I was going to say that, you know, it is a little, I was really struck this morning when I logged onto Facebook and I saw an ad pop up in my newsfeed with the language clinically proven. And that's a very misleading term, clinically proven. If you really look at it, I mean, the FDA makes no real definition or standard of what that even means. So to put a supplement I'll call Protect in the middle of a pandemic and to put in ads that it's clinically proven, I mean, you're clinically studied.
Right.
These are very, very misleading terms that really cause a lot of confusion among people. And the last guy, the pharmacist, hit the nail on the head that a supplement does not have to be regulated by the FDA. We run into this all the time. People asking me, you know, should I take this? Should I take this? I found this at GNC. I found this at CVS. And the reality is, for all we know, this product is actually worsening your immune function. If we've learned anything in the last 2 or 3 months, I think we've learned that basic science studies and even preliminary studies can often be wrong. So it is a little, and I'm Team Brady all the way. You know, I think in some ways he has hit a lot of good things, like you guys said earlier, in his method in terms of fitness and nutrition and exercise. I mean, that's the holy grail of good living, and there is clinical evidence to support that. But to put untested or unproven products out there and to make claims or statements that quite frankly are misleading is just not the best look.
Dennis, thanks for the call. I agree. And it's surprising he keeps doing it. You know, he did it with the concussion water, and that was bad form. He got slapped down by the FDA or the FTC, someone. He got slapped down because Guerrero has a long... So this is it really goes back to Alex, right? I mean, sure. Alex used to pump supplements that would help, you know, cure cancer and heart disease and diabetes, and he got slapped down by the federal government for that. And then they did the concussion water, and the government said, we told you, Alex, to cut out these unfounded claims, so they had to pull the concussion water. And now they're back at it with this thing. It's like, boy, Brady doesn't learn his lesson with this guy. There is, as the doctor just said, I agree with, like, there's just so many simple things that Brady touts that are right, that are proven, that are basic. And if he just, you know, him putting his, you know, and there's so many of us in this country who are uneducated about nutrition and fitness and what it takes. And if Brady just put his, you know, his name behind the simple proven stuff, I think there's a business there. It'd be enough. But why does he feel the need to cross the line into the concussion water and the, what was the thing that Alex had? Again, Brady wasn't with him, but Super Greens? What was it called?
Yeah, right.
Whatever that...
Something like that could help cause cure cancer.
Well, you know, whatever that was. And now this thing. Like, why does he feel the need to do that? If he just stayed away from this stuff, the rest of it's harmless. You know, and that's up to you whether you want to spend $50 on a bag of freaking nuts or not. But, he, you know, at least there's no false claims there. Anyway, here's Murray's update. We're back with one more fabulous segment.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm so happy to be in Tampa Bay, and I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms, outside of getting kicked out of the park the other day. I'm so excited to be a Buck. So we have an incredibly exciting season ahead. I can't wait until we can get together as a team, start our practices, and start working hard to improve. There's a lot of work to be put in between now and the start of the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Raymond James in a couple short months. I promise you that. So stay safe, everyone, and let's go Bucks.
Good guy. Tampa Bay, Mazz.
Does sound weird.
Oh, God, it's so weird. The trademarking thing is another part of this. Like, it's just how many little other things do you need to market yourself between the trademarks and the protect and the, you know, all these things that Tom's going to get his hands on because he's Tom. At some point, don't just go, dude, enough. Like, what? When is it enough?
Chris and Raynham, have you gotten your Tampa Bay T-shirt and your protect immunity boosters?
Well, I have my son Brady sleeping in my arm next to me in his little TB12 Buccaneers jersey right now.
Do you really? Yes.
I do, yes.
Hold on. Your son, Brady, how old is he?
He is 8 months.
8 months, congratulations. And he's got a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, onesie kind of deal?
Yeah, they don't have the official ones out on the NFL shop, so it's more of one with his face and the Buccaneer and the Pirate logo.
That's tremendous. So.
Tampa Bay. Remember, it's Tampa Bay and Tampa Brady.
So I want to know, are you guys going to be this tough on Stidham? Because as I called you yesterday, I don't know if you saw the email I sent you yesterday as well, Felger, about the Stidham makeup video.
Yes, I did see it.
Now, Brady started doing this stuff after his fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jared Stidham is out there on Instagram pitching makeup products that his wife pitches. I just want to know, are you going to be the same? Are you going to bash him equally?
So, no.
Because the bar's not as high to start.
So, I mean, look, the corny off the field, if he's not putting in the work, I'll kill him. Okay, that'll kill him for it.
Do you think he has Harry and Myers out there doing workouts on the down low right now?
I have no idea. I hope he does, but
I think he should.
Yes, absolutely. I think he should. Absolutely.
He's not the starter.
If he doesn't, if you find out that he hasn't seen these guys since in the offseason at all, hasn't been in touch, will you bash him equally?
Yes. I mean, equally, I don't know. If he's not putting in the work or putting in, if he's not one of the hardest working guys on the team, I will bash him. The thing with his wife, wasn't it his wife's thing and he just sort of stood behind her as she pitched the cosmetic or whatever?
Yes, it was on her Instagram, and then he was pitching it for her as almost a spokesperson. He's constantly pitching her stuff, constantly on her Instagram, and I've spent the last 30 days watching Marvel movies. I just want consistency from you, because since August of last year, there's been an edict on your show that has turned very pro-Belichick and very anti-Brady, and I think that goes along with Stidham. I don't hear you guys ever talk anything negative about a guy who was a bust his last year in college being as the next chosen one.
Okay, Chris, I promise you to do what I always do, which is call him as I see him, which is not to mean that I'm right or I'm wrong, but if Stidham's not putting in the work, I'll say it. If Stidham is putting his brand ahead of his craft, especially now at this young of an age, I'll kill him, okay? If it's corny or goofy, we'll make fun of him. I haven't looked at you showed me the video, or you sent it to me. I didn't look at it. I heard it and saw it on Zolak and Bertrand one day, and I think there was much to it. But believe me, I will get on him if it warrants it.
It's not apples to apples. It's not apples to apples. So look, as we've learned here in the last couple of months, Chris is a Brady fan. He's not a Patriot fan. He's a Brady fan. In fact, he's probably more of a Brady fan than he is a Patriot fan. And so I understand how he wants to protect Brady, but no one was holding Brady to these standards back in 2001, right out of the gate. Nobody knew what he was. We don't know what this kid is either. In fact, as of right now, he's not even the starter.
Right. And by the way, Stidham is going to be allowed some growing pains. Okay. That's on the field. That's off the field.
And it wasn't him pitching it. It was her product that they're trying to sell, and he was just kind of in the background like, hey, here I am.
Again, I like Chris, okay? I do. I like him, and I like him more and more the more we get to know him, because I think there's some real value there. Before, I thought he was just a Bobo as opposed to a Brady Bobo, which is a little different in my mind. But even so, like, I'm sorry, if it pertains to criticism of Brady, I still don't think he can take it.
So
clearly that's what this is about. It's not about Stidham. It's about that Brady's taking criticism.
You think he's a Brady guy? What gave you that idea? The fact that he named his son Brady and not Bill?
I mean, all he's done to call us in the last month is rip Belichick.
No, I'll call him as I see it with Stidham, but he has allowed some growing pains on the field and off. Louis in Amesbury. Go ahead, Louis.
Oh, my God, my immune system you're talking about is compromised with everything you keep saying, for God's sake. Are you kidding me, Maz? It's apples to apples. It's awful. It's awful. Let me just say this. I'm a huge Brady fan. I wasn't at the start, but I was over the last 20 years. What he has done on and off the field is incomparable. He is selling his brand. He's also now down on the field. He hasn't been able to practice with his team. And you're going to give him a hard time for getting out there practicing with his team. Leading,
no,
what he's leading.
Louis,
yes, you are.
No, I'm giving him a hard time for not doing that here. What he's doing in Tampa, he should be doing. Every quarterback should be doing. Every quarterback should be the hardest working guy on the team, which is Brady. What Brady generally was here, generally, until the end. So that's what I'm getting on him
generally,
for.
Generally, he was always.
No, he wasn't always.
But always.
The last couple of years, he wasn't, Louis. The last couple of years, you can't claim to be one of the hardest working guys on the team when you don't even show up in the offseason.
You have blinders on. You have your head in the sand if you think that it was the same over the last couple of seasons. And I'm Brady over Bill, but come on. These last couple of years, he kind of half-assed it, at least in the preseason.
And there was
Have we officially entered the Brady Bobo hour?
Yeah.
Is that what this is now?
It's fine. But there was I'm just trying to set you straight with some facts. There was another time there when he lived in Brentwood, L.A. He lived in California in the offseason. Okay, and he wasn't putting in quite the same time. He still came out during that time, though, for the passing camps, the OTAs. He still came out for those. But he wasn't here for the full off season. And then they drafted Garoppolo. And wouldn't you know it, he sold the house to Dr. Dre. And next thing you know, he was here winning the parking spot year after year. And then in the last couple, after they didn't give him the contract, he stopped showing up again. So it sort of waxed and waned here in the second half of his tenure with New England in terms of how much time he put in with the team. I always liked it when he was winning the parking spot. Call me crazy. I'm just a sucker for that sort of thing. Peter in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I have to tell you, how can you believe a word that comes out of Brady's mouth over the last 2 years after what he did today? I am so ticked off at him. I'm a Patriots fan first, Brady's fan second. I have to tell you, especially after watching the whole Michael Jordan program the episodes, and watching Larry Bird. Larry Bird came here, took a franchise turned it around, was the same player when he got here, the same player when he left here, go for the beer with the guys, the whole nine yards. Brady turned out to be a damn prima donna.
Okay, a little bit, got a little diva-ish. Did Bird get diva-ish, Maz, at the end? I think he did a little bit.
Yeah, a little, not as bad as Brady, and not again, not a comparison I would make. But, you know, but Bird was high maintenance at the end a little more than he was at the beginning.
Yeah, clashed with didn't he and Chris Ford have some run-ins?
Jimmy Rogers more than Chris Ford.
Or Rogers, that's what
he
I mean.
He basically got Jimmy Rogers fired.
Right, so he got a little bit, to be a little bit of a handful at the end, but not like this. Not like this. Dwayne in Illinois. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Hey, what's up, guys? I love you guys, but I definitely got to call hypocrite BS on you guys today. How dare you guys bash Brady for promoting his brand when it's been numerous spots on you guys' show that you promoted this company that's supposedly going to your house, disinfect your house, and get rid of the coronavirus? It's a lot of people that's trying to make money off coronavirus, okay? You guys just did a spot on White Windows when they said something about, it'll help you get rid of the coronavirus.
Yeah, they didn't say that, but I didn't like that read either, to be honest with you. I didn't know it was coming. I didn't read it beforehand. Bugged me. Bugged me that I went on that rant about Brady and then had to read it. It bugged me a little bit. Got to be totally honest with you. It doesn't say that it can cure the coronavirus. It says the CDC recommends, what does it say? Fresh air, ventilated rooms. I mean, that is true. Fauci's talked about that. The CDC's talked about it. So they're tying it into replacing your windows and getting more ventilation through your house. I didn't feel the greatest about it. I'll be totally honest with you. So I don't know if I'm even going to read that one again. I did not know what was coming.
I thought he was going to get on Maz and I for being whores on Cameo. Now that you'd have a gripe about.
These guys will say $40 for Maz, $15 for Murray. They'll say they have the cure for the coronavirus if you pay them on the Cameo thing. What are you kidding me?
All I can tell you is this: the $40 means a hell of a lot more to me than the $45 does to Brady.
Final word comes your way next.
But don't have I can't those find it
right next to each other. Anyway,
I need this in the rundown to be prepared.
Well, we also had this today: cats. Neighborhood children. These are the things that can interrupt an offsite broadcast during the pandemic. Or in Maz's case, his yippy little dog.
So I still think they could. I don't think that. Shut your dog up there, Maz.
You can hear him.
Oh, right? Yeah. No. What I think that Brady it doesn't appreciate is that it was the demanding nature that got the most out of them. That dog's going to drive me nuts. I can't even hear myself think.
He doesn't usually bark. I don't know what's going on over there.
Brady left because Bill was a big meanie, but I think Bill being a big meanie was a big part of their success. Seriously, shut that mutt up.
Seriously, he's like his owner. He doesn't usually bark.
Good job, Jimmy. All right, Adam Jones is standing by, but he can't come in social distancing and all, which has just been a great win for all of us. You'll have to hear what diabolical crap he's got in store for you coming up in just 90 seconds after Murray's update. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. Maz Murray, we'll see you then.
See you.
See you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.